First of all, it's a pleasure to see guys coming out, familiar faces. How many of you guys have ever learned Tanya before?
I learned
a
little.
Yeah?
No, I haven't. I know a small part.
Before your bar mitzvah, you learned Tanya?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great.
Little parts
of it. Yeah, Aiden, what about you?
I know about the numbers and the letters saying.
He knows little parts too.
Okay, all right.
But smaller.
Good. So, what about you? Joe, anything? No, okay. Josh, all right. So we'll do a little bit of an introduction to the Sefer about the author behind it, try to understand in the background as to why it's such a special, unique, beautiful Sefer. So really, before we get to the Sefer itself, we have to start with one of the biggest tzaddikim to live was the Baal Shem Tov. Have you guys heard of the Baal Shem Tov? So he was born in... different opinions, some say in the year 1698, some say in the year 1700, passed away in the year 1760. He was a hidden tzaddik for many, many years of his life. Nobody knew how holy and how special he was, and in the meantime, he's doing like these most unbelievable things. His job, since orphaned at a very young age, his job was to be what's called in Yiddish a veker. Vekir is the one who knocks on the door and wakes up the people to get them to go, the little children, to get them to go to shul in the morning, to get them to go to learn in yeshiva. So they say it was a beautiful sight to watch the Baal Shem Tov walking and having all these children following him. And what the Baal Shem Tov did was he taught a new, authentic path in coming closer to Hashem. Because in the times of the Baal Shem Tov, basically, it's sad to say, but there's a tremendous split. There's a tremendous... gap between Talmidei Chachamim, big Torah scholars who knew him and learning all day, and everyone else. People who were working hard, long hours in the fields and in the sweatshops and butchers and bakers and whatever profession they had, but they didn't have time to sit and learn. So they were, basically they had different shuls, they didn't daven together, they didn't talk together. It was a complete and total separation. It came to Baal Shem Tov and taught a new way in serving Hashem. He pointed out that God loves simple Jews just as much as he loves very learned Jews. And because of this, his teachings and his Torah was very, very much accepted. People like to hear that. People want to feel that what I'm doing is important. That even small actions in my life God cares about and I can do a tremendous thing. Like for example, you know in Halacha, you know in Halacha that there is a difference as to which shoe you're supposed to put on first in the morning? You ever heard this Halacha? Which shoe?
Left. Okay. Oh, no, right.
Right. Put your right shoe on first, then your left, right, then you tie it then. So the commentators explain, what do you mean? God cares which shoe I put on? He has nothing more important to care than which shoe Jaffe puts on in the morning, his right shoe or his left shoe? So they explain, really, I could take something so small, such a simple, insignificant act, like how I put on my shoes in the morning, and bring godliness into that. And that's what the Baal Shem Tov was teaching and stressing. It's not that there was nothing new before, but just put the emphasis on certain ideas that people didn't realize how much Hashem loves simple Jews. Obviously, the more righteous ones as well, but that it's important to serve God with sincerity. And the simple acts are very, very special to Hashem. So people like to hear this, and this movement basically, you know, it caught on. It caught on, and people started following him, and he started a new movement. Now, there's a story told about a great Hasidic leader, and he was once interviewed, and they asked him a question. Lubavitcher's, this was the sixth Lubavitcher Rebbe. You know the sixth Lubavitcher Rebbe? It was the Friedrich Rebbe, sometimes called the Rebbe Rayatz, different names for this big tzaddik. And he was once interviewed in a hotel. And the interviewer came and walked in and says, you know, tell me, Rabbi Shneerson, what new things has Hasidus taught? What new things has this whole approach of the Baal Shem Tov brought into the world that weren't there before? Is it a new religion? What's it all about? So he took, he took his cane and like pointed up to like the chandelier in the ceiling. And he asked the interviewer himself, said, look at how fancy and look at all the carvings that are in the architecture in that chandelier here in the hotel. Did you notice it when you walked into the room? Said, no, not really. He said, but it was there all along. I said, okay, I didn't notice it. He says that's the same thing what Rabbi Baal Shem Tov did. The Baal Shem Tov didn't put anything new into Judaism. He just pointed out things that had been there all along. And that's a beautiful story. It brings out a very important point. You know, we're coming up to Rosh Hashanah, the Aseres Yemei Teshuva and Yom Kippur, and there's one phrase that we're going to be saying a lot over these days. Avinu Malkeinu. You know what those words mean? Avinu Malkeinu?
Our Father,
our King. So, one approach is to put a tremendous stress upon Malkeinu, our King, Melech. Hashem is our King. And that's true, 100%. That's the whole theme of Rosh Hashanah, is to coronate and say, Hashem, you are the King. But there's an additional level as well. And it even comes first, Avinu. Hashem's our Father. Hashem loves us. Hashem has such a tremendous love for each one of us. Like the Zohar brings down. The Zohar, the book of Jewish mysticism, tells us that if we could see how much God loved us, we would run after Him like roaring lions. That's how much Hashem loves for us. So it's reciprocal. When you know somebody cares about you and someone loves you, well, you love them back. So the Baal Shem was talking about how much love. You know, it's interesting. The earliest followers of the Baal Shem Tov were not called Hasidim. They were called the Freilichim, the happy ones. We were always happy. You know, God loves happy Jews. So the early followers were very happy. And it's just a whole Simcha Sachayim about going through life in a joyous state. And this was a message that obviously resounded very strongly with them. And they caught on. Okay, let's move up a little bit. The next generation of the followers of the Baal Shem Tov was Rav Dov Ber, known as the Magid of Mezrich. And he was the one, the Baal Shem Tov really didn't write down so much. In fact, he never authored any books by himself. He was the one who, the successor, yeah, question?
Wasn't it like the first,
correct, he was the second generation.
Fine.
Oh, we'll get, yes, let's try to clarify that for a second. He was like you call the second, the next generation. And then after he passed, he himself had many, many followers, and each one of his followers, of the Magid of Mezrich, each one of his followers like set up their own basic approach and their path in serving Hashem, based upon the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov. So I went from the Baal Shem Tov to the Magid of Mezrich. Who we're going to talk about, or we're going to learn about, is from Shneur Zalman of Liadi. The Alter Rebbe. Now what does Alter Rebbe mean? It means the Alter in Yiddish means old. I once got in trouble when my first son was born. So he was born on the first day of Sukkot. So I brought him into the sukkah in his little whatever car seat thing, and he's a few days old. So I want to introduce you to everybody in the family. So I said, I'm your father, this is your mother, these are your grandparents, and my wife's grandmother was still alive at that time. So my wife called her Bubby. So the way you say grandmother in Yiddish is Bubby. The way you say great-grandmother is Alter Bubby, the older grandmother. So I made a mistake, and I introduced my two-day-old son to his great-grandma, says, and this is your Alter Bubby. And she got so upset, I called her old. I know I'm old, but you don't need to tell everybody. I got such a Misha Berach from her. But okay, so the word Alt in Yiddish means old. The Alter Rebbe means it's the first Lubavitcher Rabbi. So he was known as that. In his lifetime, he had different names because he was from Lithuania. They had different titles for him. But depending upon, we'll use different names. Sometimes he's known by the name of the book he wrote, the Baal HaTanya, because the book Tanya is what he wrote. We're going to get into that in a few minutes. So he was known as the Baal HaTanya, the author of it. He also, because he was such a tremendous genius in Torah study, he was charged with a special task of writing a Shulchan Aruch, a code of Jewish law. And unfortunately, we weren't worthy of keeping it. There was a fire that burned a large percentage of it. We only have a small amount of the Shulchan Aruch Harav, as it's called. But he was a tremendous genius. You know, it reminds me of the story. When he was first setting out, he was a young man. He was torn a little bit. Rav Shneur Zalman was torn as to where is he going to go and invest, and where is he going to find his own personal spiritual guide. So he had two paths. He could have taken the path to Vilna, where the Vilna Gaon, have you heard of the Vilna Gaon before? It was again a tremendous tzaddik. And his emphasis was on Limud HaTorah. Or another road would take him to Mezrich, where the students of the Baal Shem Tov were there, and they were teaching how to daven. And he said, as a young man, I know how to learn already. I know how to learn. I don't know how to daven. So he took the road, the path that led him to Mezrich. And the rest, they say, is history. So when the Maggid of Mezrich passed away, all the students took a lottery as to who is going to be able to perform the ritual purification of the body. Do you know what a tahara is? Have you ever heard of this phrase? It's when, God forbid, a person dies, so there's a special group, a society that comes in and takes care of the body. They clean it, they put it into a mikveh, they wrap it up in special types of clothing, and there was a lottery picked amongst the students of the Maggid of Mezrich, who was going to take care of what part of his body. And it was very symbolic, and it was a sign from heaven that when they cast the lottery, the Reb Shneur Zalman was the one who was supposed to take care of his head. Because his approach, as we're going to be learning, is an intellectual approach to it. To understand Hashem, to understand godliness, and to use one's brain. Whereas other approaches, I'm not saying better or worse, I'm just saying different, other approaches didn't put as much of an emphasis on intellectual understanding. Now, you've heard Chabad, you've heard the name Chabad, yes? Chabad, you know what Chabad stands for? Three words. Chochma, Bina, and Das. Right, so Chabad is that. Chod is a different intellectual thing. So the whole movement is based upon an intellectual approach to understanding. So the Reb Shneur Zalman, the founder of Chassidus, of Chabad Chassidus, was in charge of the task of taking care of the Maggid's head, because it's symbolic of, again, this intellectual approach. Any questions so far? If you want to feel free to ask. Okay. So, the Baal HaTanya, Reb Shneur Zalman Liadi, the Alter Rebbe, spent many years giving spiritual advice to his followers. The people who come to him and had real issues. People who are trying to come closer to Hashem, to daven better, to learn better, to do more chesed. And a result of over 20 years of counseling people on the deepest, intimate, spiritual questions that they had, he realized he wanted to write a book. A sefer that would provide a guide for life. So that itself was a little bit of a novelty. To have a book instead of a living person as your guide. It's not a replacement, but he realized he couldn't be accessible to provide the guidance they needed for all of his followers, so he wrote down the essential in the book called Tanya. Okay. They explained it. He spent so much time working out and clarifying. He spent a very long time, I think it's 6 months, if I remember the story correctly, but it was certainly a long period of time, whether he should add a vav to one word or he should not add a vav to one word. For one letter, that's how much time he spent, a lot of time, you know, working out. So every word is carefully chosen. Now the Baal HaTanya, Reb Shneur Zalman Liadi himself, was a holistic blend of emotion, of passion, of awe of God, fear of God, love of God, and yet also a super Talmudic genius at the same time. So he was able, much like the Rambam, have you guys heard of the Rambam, Maimonides? Yeah, okay. So he also had that blending. There's many, many parallels between the two personalities, but that's not really our topic for right now. We're going to begin learning the Tanya. I'd like to share with you something that was put together by someone who I had the privilege of learning Tanya with. Many years ago, when I was in Yeshiva University, you guys have heard of YU, yes? Holy and holy, holy YU. So when I was there in college, there was a Chabad club. I guess we're like the Chabad club of Frisch. There was a Chabad club. Your brother, yeah, your brother's he's the leader of it?
Or something, yeah.
Fantastic.
Like last year. Yeah.
Now he learned in Lubavitch Yeshivas. After he graduated Frisch, where did he go learn? He went to learn
he
in
went to
New Haven.
Yeah.
And
then he went to YU.
Okay, fantastic. You should have a lot of Hatzlacha. You know, we used to learn together when he was here. Okay. So, what to get on. So when I was in YU, going back many, many years, 20 years ago plus, I guess. So there was a bacher from Morristown. Morristown is Lubavitch Yeshiva, it's not too far away. And he used to come and give like a weekly class. And I could tell back then already, this person who was giving over the classes, he was somebody special. And he, even then, he had tremendous ability to explain very difficult concepts in a clear way. His name is Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Jacobson. And now he's like a superstar. Now, you know, I'll give you an example. He speaks very, very often all around the world. They fly him all over to speak. There was a conference of chaplains of the U.S. military. I believe there was like 4,000 chaplains, he said. And he was honored with the to speak to them. So you're a rabbi, you're going to come speaking. It wasn't just Jews, you understand. Chaplain is all different types of religions. And he's the one who's up there, the first Orthodox Jew, perhaps the only Orthodox Jew to get up and give a speech. So he had a few funny comments. He says, you know, you're talking to this, talking to Goyim is different than talking to Yidden. Because first of all, you ask them to turn off their cell phones and they actually listen. Like, it's funny, if he talks and, like, you know, phone goes off in the middle of his lecture, he'll say, okay, go, Baruch Hashem, I know I'm talking to Jews. Like, you know, he has to turn off the phone and no one listens. But he said that these people knew the Bible, like, they were finishing his sentence. You know, Southern Baptists, they know the Bible. Very well. So that's when I was learning with him, and we've kept in contact over the years. I want to share with you a short piece from a larger article that he wrote, a little bit of an introduction to the Tanya, and then, time permitting, is that the right time? Okay. Well, time permitting, we'll actually open it up and start learning together the first chapter of Tanya. The Alter Rebbe turned this work with a very original and beautiful name, Sefer Shel Beinoni, which means the book of the intermediate man, or, if you will, the guidebook for the ordinary person. All other previous books of Jewish ethics and spirituality aim to elevate and inspire man towards the ideal of tzaddik, the perfectly righteous individual. So one of the followers, we were talking about the Maggid of Mezrich, he had a very big tzaddik, who was one of his students, called Reb Elimelech Lezhensk, Reb Elimelech. And he wrote a book called Noam Elimelech. So that book, they explain, is like a book for tzaddikim. They say Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, his books are for the Rishoyim. And the Tanya is for the middleman, the Beinoni. But here's a problem. There's a problem. Some people indeed can become perfectly righteous, and they do. The rest of us, however, never become tzaddikim. So we either become frustrated and give up on all those books telling us to become tzaddikim, or we become delusional, fake, unnatural, trying to make believe we're tzaddikim, we become unhealthy, dishonest people. So he's saying like this, you can fool yourself, I'm a tzaddik. I don't have a single yetzahara inside of me whatsoever. I do the right thing all the time. All my thoughts are pure. From the moment I wake up to the morning I go to sleep. All of my speech is pure. I never speak anything I'm not supposed to. All of my actions, everything, I'm a tzaddik. So you can delude yourself into thinking that, but it's not. We all have real urges inside. Sometimes they're unhealthy. Sometimes they are healthy. And the Tanya is the book that addresses that. I don't want to put anybody on the spot. But deep down, what would you rather have? A good steak with spicy fries on the side, or a Torah lecture? A good ball game? Or to say Tehillim, to say Psalms. So I'm not going to ask you. Is the man who possesses in a very conscious way the above-mentioned duality, not like the tzaddik who's achieved mortal perfection, the tzaddik being a man who's totally egoless and godly, that Beinoni's life is dichotomized between two souls, an animalistic, egotistical, selfish, self-centered consciousness. That's one soul we have, which is called the Nefesh HaBahamis, an animal soul. And the other, we have a divine, transcendental, selfless, idealistic soul. His entire life constitutes a struggle between these two perceptions, perspectives, philosophies, and visions. That's what the Beinoni is. The Beinoni is the one who never wins, but never stops fighting. The Rishayim, the evil ones, they're weak. They give in. The tzaddikim are perfect. They don't have that type of fight. The beinoni is the middle one who has to deal with these types of things. And here is the Alter Rebbe's revolution. God does not want you to become an angel, to be the perfect tzaddik. Most people can never become tzaddikim. They don't have to. What God wants from you is to create a fire amidst the thorns. Now, do you realize what he's hinting at here? Where does God appear as a fire amidst the thorns? The burning bush. What did God have to appear from a burning bush for? Why did Hashem have to appear from a burning bush? Appear in a tall oak sycamore. I'm from California. Appear from one of the California redwoods. These huge, enormous trees. Why did Hashem have to appear from a burning bush? So the deeper commentaries explain it's extremely important to understand that's where you find God. You find Hashem in that thorn bush, in the difficulties, in the painful, in the struggle. And that's what the Sefer HaBeinoni is, the Tanya is all about. According to the Alter Rebbe, not everyone can attain the spiritual perfection of the tzaddik. Not everyone can achieve absolute inner wholesomeness, but not everyone must achieve that state. Man can be aware that he is incomplete and nevertheless fulfill his divine purpose in life in a very real, exciting, deep, and honest way. He cannot necessarily achieve perfection in the essence of his character, but he can achieve perfection in his garments, thought, speech, and action in his behavioral life. So these are three things that we're going to be talking a lot about. Thoughts, is machshava, speech, our dibur, and our actions is our maisa. So it means like this. A beinoni is someone who controls himself. From the outside, they would look like a perfectly righteous person. They never say anything they're not supposed to. They never act in a way that's inappropriate. So from an external thing, you look at them, wow, this person's a tzaddik. But you have no idea about that burning thorn bush inside of them. You have no idea about their inner battles that they're struggling with. I feel like sharing a juicy piece of gossip, but I'm going to hold back. I'm not going to say it. I feel like taking an extra slice of pizza, but I know deep down I don't need it. I'm not going to do it. These are the types of inner struggles that the beinoni, this intermediate man, he's the hero of the Tanya. And the goal of the Sefer is to guide all of us on our spiritual journeys to become a beinoni. Because at the end of the day, a tzaddik, the way that Tanya explains it, the tzaddik is like a gift from Hashem. You're like born that way. And there's certain people who are. There are certain tzaddikim who are even alive now in the previous generations who were just born on a totally different level than the rest of us. But we're not that. We're beinonim. We have these struggles. The spiritual personality defined in this work as the beinoni is the hero of the Tanya. He's the possible man, the profile toward which every man should strive for. The beinoni opens up a door for every human being in every situation and on every level to find his own place among those men who are striving to soar on high, to connect, to become true servants of God. And this is important. The beinoni is not the individual who wins, but he's also not the human being who's defeated. He, meaning the beinoni, is an individual who fights, who toils and struggles. The clamor of his efforts is exquisite music to God's ear. You know, we could fool ourselves in thinking that God only wants perfect spiritual beings. God wants a bunch of robots. But he has robots. You know what those robots are called? What's a spiritual robot called? An angel, correct. God does not want more angels. He's got enough of them up there. He put us down here. Because we have something to accomplish. And each one of us has different things that we're struggling with. All of us are on a different ladder. You know, I remember the Chabad rabbi who I was very close with, still am close with in California, Rabbi Sholem Ber Harlig. So he told me, it might have been the first night I met him. Could be when I was in high school. And, you know, I was coming from a different place. I certainly wasn't a rabbi. And he said to me, It doesn't matter what level you're on the ladder of spirituality. It matters how many steps did you take today? And I made such a strong impression upon me because, you know, here I am, starting out. And the rabbi says, it doesn't matter. He's on this level. I'm never going to get there. It doesn't matter. If you only took one step, but I took four, then I'm on a higher level than the rabbi. How much are we willing to push ourselves? And that's part of being honest with ourselves. You know, am I willing to work for it? Am I willing to push myself? Take an athlete, a very talented athlete. You think that you get the Olympics just by sleeping in late? I had a student who I taught in a different high school. She was competing. I don't know if she ever got the Olympics, but she was like competing as a figure skater, an ice skater. And she used to wake up every morning at 4 o'clock. She never came to Minyan. From 4 to 8 o'clock, she was training in the ice rink. So the principal said, okay, you're doing that. I'm not going to make you come to school now. And then she comes, like, for first period, she'd be there. But you know what it means to train 4 hours a day for something? Well, if you're an athlete and you really want to achieve your potential, you're going to do that. If you're a musician, if you're talented but you never practice, so it could be a tremendous potential. What the Tanya is telling us, that we have a potential to become great. It's a theme we're going to talk more about as we get through this. The Alter Rebbe termed his work the Sefer Shalbeinim because he's attempting to address who we are rather who we're not. He was attempting to make Yiddishkeit, Judaism, real, to make it intimately close to you, to me, to us, people who are not spiritual, who are not godly, to people in the world seems no less real than God, maybe even more real, to human beings to whom materialism is as powerful as spirituality, maybe even more powerful. I would say that the entire Tanya is based upon the single line that God told Moshe. For the place on which you stand is holy. Wherever you are, you could find holiness and develop a real relationship with the Almighty. Even as your thorns do not disappear and do not forfeit their sting in the flame of your soul, you must remember that you can attain holiness. Because serving God does not mean becoming divine, sublime, pure, and sacred. It means having the courage to fight for truth, even amidst thorny foes which crave to undermine you. Okay. Let me... any questions? We're good? Yeah? All right. Is anything unclear? Feel free to ask. I have here a sefer which we'll be learning. Two beautiful svarim. One is called the Kutei Oros. These were based upon its own Hebrew. I'll be explaining from here. This is a book written by students of Rav Moshe Wolfson and Shlita, who gave many, many classes on the Tanya. And I just want to read you and translate one of the a few lines from his introduction. Let me find. I'll start for him. Kasher be'emes re'inu she'asefer hakadosh alaz mishava le'sefer yisod vilmod bo es Torah sabal Shem Tov. We see that this book, which we're about to start learning, Tanya, is a fundamental book in understanding the teachings of Rabbi Yisrael Bal Shem Tov. Uvedoros hakodim, in previous generations, lamduhu ba'oifin tamidi, it was learned constantly, b'chol makomos ha'chassidus, by all types of chassidim. Rak b'dor ha'acharon, however, later on in subsequent generations, nod ha'to'os, a mistake was born. Shezeh shayach rak le'eze chugim misyom. That only applies to certain sections. The Tanya is only for certain groups of people. And they're the ones who learn it, not the bunch of modern Orthodox kids at Frisch. Aval ha'emes, you know what the truth is? Ha'emes hi shezeh sefer ha'shayach l'chol klal Yisrael. The book of Tanya belongs to all the Jewish people. And everyone can benefit from it. So I think that's a beautiful quote that we're all here to benefit from it. So let's see, how much time do we have left? I just don't want to keep you guys too late.
We have like 15 minutes, I think. Like 20 minutes.
20 minutes. 6:05. No, they changed it. I think we have about 5 minutes. You tell me, you want to go for 5 more minutes?
Yeah,
okay, let's start.
Do you have donuts?
What's that?
Donuts?
Yeah, I think they have donuts at the end, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're not
going to... No one goes hungry at Frisch. Let me just explain it to you. You're freshmen. No one goes hungry at Frisch. Okay.
Yeah, when do we leave? Like, the people who are going to...
They have all the buses will be at their end. You know what? Chevra, I have an idea. Let's just not stop because it's going to take more. It's going to take about 10 minutes to do the first part. So, well, I mean, it's Hashem, next week, next Mishmar, we'll start the actual learning the Sefer inside. Yeah, I'll take those back, but we'll continue to, I'll hold on to these for you. Thank you for coming out. Go sign in. Yeah, go next, that's why I'm letting you go a little bit early. Go next door to sign out. If they're not there, just find an empty station so you guys can take credit. Okay?
Thank you.
Take care.
Okay.